I see a lot of new faces here, and some of you might wonder, you know, why this format? And we do things a little bit different here, primarily because it's reflective of our culture with all the negative stuff that goes around, as trying as it is from day to day, all the stuff that's out of our control. It's nice to be able to stop, to be able to reflect, and to be able to have a message of hope. And so that's why we like to come out. We like to take a short break. And in fact, we have Sean Grenier here today, and he's going to share his personal message of hope with everybody. A little bit about Sean. He was born in 1974 in Salt Lake City, Utah. His family moved to Houston to the Friendswood area when he was young. He played high school ball in Clearbrook High School. He then played baseball at Sanjak Junior College and played his last 2 years at HBU, Houston Baptist University. Sean graduated from HBU with a double major in business and finance, but his best accomplishment was his wife, Vanita. Married her, been married for 13 years. They have three amazing kids, Gentry, who's 10, Jaden, who's 9, and son, Gunner, who's 6. Sean has been a wealth manager with Fidelity Investments, and after 15 years there, he decided to start his own firm called Creative Planning, where Sean specializes in helping clients build comprehensive financial plans. And with that, we'd like to welcome Sean up.
Awesome. Hey, good afternoon. This is what a day. So I got to tell you, yesterday my wife turns to me and says, did you know it's 100% chance of rain tomorrow? At the same time, I have Craig sending me a note saying, hey man, you ready, bro? This is going to be awesome. And then one of my buddies in my foursome said, hey, did you know it's going to rain tomorrow? And I said, Lord, I don't know what you got in store for tomorrow. I just know I'm excited to show up. And that's been the cool thing about this journey is I'm just trying to show up and allow him to work. And then we got the notice. Jimmy says, okay, hey, when you hear the horn, come on in. And I said, oh, this is really bad. My wife's trying to make it. I have no idea when that horn's going to go, Lord. I said, man, I'm just showing up. And good friend Kim Patchell's trying to make it too. And then all of a sudden we're about ready to go and the lights go out. I said, Lord, I don't know what this is all about. This is fun, though. They're like, Sean, you got a big voice. We're going to let you just boom. And I said, oh, Lord. Oh, by the way, the lights are out, so you can't read your script, so we're just going to ad-lib it. And I said, man. What? I think I turned to somebody and said, hey, can we go play golf now? Is this a good time with the weather? And sure enough, my amazing wife, she showed. Thank you. And, man, it's just an honor to be here. So I wanted to start off with a quick story and just highlight, man, Dave Rathkamp, of all people, the phone is going off. That is fantastic. I would answer that. Maybe the Lord calling. No, I think about the 9 holes that we were trying to play this morning, and for me, that's been kind of my journey up to this point. So I just turned 40, and golf to me has been one of the most amazing sports. I'm absolutely horrible at it. Craig won't even play with me anymore. I got to beg him and pay him to come play with me. But, you know, golf to me is just a series of events. And I'm learning more and more with golf. It's not so much the best shots. It's how do we respond when we get knocked in the rough. And, you know, for so long in my journey, I've just put things off to the side, try to bury them and cover them up. And, man, I'm starting to realize that just bringing stuff to the light and sharing it with brothers in my walk that, man, it's okay. So as already mentioned, I was born September the 11th, 1974 in Salt Lake City. Growing up in a house with two amazing parents. They loved each other very much. Didn't know the Lord and were two raging alcoholics. With little to no income, two kids, and a family that had essentially disowned him as my mom and dad eloped after knowing each other for just 1 week. As a boy growing up, some of my earliest memories around my mom and dad were throwing crazy wild parties, women dancing on tables, and alcohol bottles all over the place in our home. At an early age, I actually found a stash of my father's Playboy magazines, and when my dad would leave, I would find myself sifting through the Playboys, looking at the pictures, put them out, put them under my bed, and put them in my locked box, which was my safe place. When the magazines weren't enough, I found late night TVs, which I pretended to be sleeping, and then sneak out to watch the movies, and I became completely addicted. Then just prior to my 10th birthday, at 3 a.m. in the morning, I was awakened by a police officer that was standing in the front door of my father's. My father was in the back of a police car in handcuffs. I remember attacking the police officer and trying to free my dad. Dad had to go away for the night, and they put him in jail. Essentially, he'd had too much to drink, and he'd gone down to the street, broke into a neighbor's house. They'd given them the option to actually go to jail or get help. My dad made the amazing decision to clean his life. This decision was that turning point in our family's life. I got the opportunity to live with a sober dad who was there for me, attended my games, and loved me. This kept me on the straight and narrow path through high school. When I left for my first year of college, it's where my world really started to turn upside down. I went to San Jacinto North Campus, played baseball, and I went from being the star player on the team in high school to being the third string starting catcher. My junior year, I took a scholarship and attended Houston Baptist University. It was my chance to have a new start. It was at HBU I started to learn a little bit about the Bible. As a Catholic boy in a Baptist university, having to take Old Testament, New Testament, and the doctrine were my toughest classes in my four-year degree. My 2 years at HBU were a blur. I was able to play baseball, but couldn't stay away from the alcohol, drugs, or girls. Right out of college, I got a job in the financial industry as a financial advisor and got married to a woman I barely knew. That marriage was an absolute nightmare. I didn't understand what it meant to be married, nor did I understand what it meant to have an honest relationship with anyone. About 9 short months, we got married. We got divorced. I went to see a counselor, told the counselor my story, and he said, "Have you ever attended an AA meeting?" After my first AA meeting, I picked up the phone, called my dad, and said, "Dad," with pouring tears down my face, "my name's Sean, and I'm an alcoholic." My dad's voice got real quiet. I just remember the response, which was, "Sean, I'm so proud of you, and I love you very much." That started a new chapter in my life. I was able to stay clean and sober, and that's also when I met the beautiful woman who was a volleyball, basketball, and track coach at a junior high. On the weekends, she liked to dance at the dance clubs, and during the week, she was a teacher, coach, and then had a second job as a bartender. Just a woman for a raging alcoholic. After a year, we met, we got married. The firm I was with, Fidelity Investments, transferred us from San Antonio to Houston, which were we there for 2 years. And then just 4 weeks after buying our first house, we had our first child, Gentry, and ended up moving to Denver. I remember dropping Benita off at the house. Just four-week-old baby at her side, boxes stacked up to the ceilings, and she had absolutely no clue who anybody was. They told me I'd be traveling just 1 or 2 days, and I ended up traveling Monday through Friday. We were both struggling just to survive. Vanita trying to be the mom for the first time in a location where she had absolutely no support. I myself on the road, where I found myself starting to get lost in the world again. I'd been sober for 4 years, and just like that, I was deeper in my addiction than ever before. I lived in this dark world where I would not find a way out. There would be nights of doing everything I did not want to do, waking up the next day crying to say I'll never do those again, only to find myself doing it the very next day. My life was completely out of control. Just 1 year and 3 months after going to Denver, we moved to Seattle, and I thought that was it. This is my new start. This was going to change everything. I'd be able to get my life back on track.
The clean living obviously was short-lived, and I was stuck back in the world where the drinking and adultery continued. My relationship with the Lord consisted of 60 minutes on Sunday that we sat in church. I kept all the men in my life at arm's distance, telling them everything was fine. But on the inside, I was an absolute lost soul. I was completely depressed and couldn't seem to get out. I knew coming clean and telling all of my secrets would mean losing my wife, my kids, my family, my friends, my job, my world. In 2008, we moved back to Houston from Seattle, which was back home. Again, another chance for me to get back to where I knew all my issues, problems would be fixed. The insanity of doing it over and over, yet expecting different results. On the outside, it was this man that everyone thought had it all together with an amazing, beautiful wife, three kids, and yet on the inside, I was dying. Living in fear, shame, and guilt. Stuck in my addiction and screaming to God for help. My life was so out of control with the drugs and the alcohol, adultery and lies. Our finances were all gone to the point that Vanita took the kids to get pizza. For $15, our card bounced. I had destroyed everything we had, and I was ready to take my own life. Psalms 107, 13 through 14 says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains." November 5th, 2011, Vanita caught me in my lies as we were driving from dinner on a date night, deciding if we would move our family back to Denver for a new job. I was caught red-handed, and there was no way of getting out of it. Which, believe me, I tried. We both went to bed that night not talking, realizing something very real was about to happen. I remember getting out of bed at 4 a.m. in the next morning and taking the dog for a run, and I picked up the phone and I called a close friend of mine. I said, "Coach, I need help." It was like he was expecting my call at 4 in the morning. He says, "Sean, I've got just the guy. So I'm going to give him a call, and I want you to go see him at noon today." Went back to the house after talking to Coach, and there was Vanita just destroyed. She had asked me if I had been unfaithful, and I said yes. I explained that I'm not well and I need help. At noon, I met with this gentleman named John, the man Coach had wanted me to go see for the first time. Now looking back, the mere fact that we met that afternoon was an absolute miracle. All Coach had to say is go see this man at noon. The fact that he was there, in town, not traveling, not busy with running his business or with family, is an absolute miracle. I sat down and shared my story with him. He said, "It's going to be okay." And he said, "I'm not alone. And although we've done some really bad things, that we had the Lord and Savior that is confident to work all this out. It might mean that the outcome is completely different than anything that we could imagine, but one thing we know is Jesus loves us and that He cares about us." Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to take and test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." December 9, 2011, just 5 weeks after getting caught, Vanita and I attended a three-day counselor-led intensive, which consisted of me going through and writing down all the dark secrets I thought that I would never tell anyone and take to my grave. On the first day, Vanita had to sit and listen to everything that I had actually done, which was followed by a lie detector test. The point was to build a marriage on trust, truth, and no secrets or lies. I remember after leaving that three-day intensive, the dark depths of our relationship. I remember after the disclosure, Vanita through the advice of a counselor, sought an attorney. We drew up a post-nuptial agreement and a divorce decree, which the attorney has on file. We sold the house and moved into a smaller house, which if Anita decided she wanted to divorce me, that she would be able to afford the payments. Through the advice of counselors, we had agreed upon an in-house separation where we lived in. I lived in the guest room, Vanita in the master, until Vanita had a chance to make the decision to divorce. As we went through this very dark time, it's amazing how God used people to come and share life with us and cry with us. It was the first time I can say I experienced a real intimate connection with men. As we made it through the beginning of the next year in terms of living in our new arrangements with the in-house separation, Vanita was really struggling with the trauma that it caused. John, who was walking step by step with us in this journey, asked if we would want to go to Moe Ranch. Moe Ranch, for those who don't know, is a vacation week in the hill country with a spiritual focus. I remember asking Vanita, and her first response was, "Hell no, I'm not going anywhere with you." And then as the time got closer, she warmed up to the idea. We weren't in any financial position due to my acting out, so out of the blue, we got a call letting us know the fee had been paid if we were able to attend. What an answer to prayer. The 1 week at Moe Ranch was just absolutely a godsend. We had the ability to hear the great message of love and grace. We had a chance to hear stories of couples and how they made it through the depths, dark times of their journey. And after Moe Ranch, I actually got the feeling that we were going to be okay. I still didn't believe that the Lord could save the marriage, but I did believe that He could heal my wife, who was so hurt from the pain that I caused. I remember getting to the point of trusting the Lord just a little bit more. The only communication Vanita and I had for over a year was a 30-minute discussion in the evenings called our intimacy exercise. We would work our intimacy exercise, which, believe me, it doesn't mean sex, just in case anybody wants to know. We would work our intimacy exercise every night with a chance for us to share some of our feelings and frustrations and try to open up and connect. And I think we found for the first time we were starting to get to know each other rather than just, "Hey, how are you? How's your day?" We also started doing a Bible study and reading the Word together, which was a miracle in itself. For the first time, I learned intimacy. Intimacy wasn't just physical, but was so much more powerful, was the spiritual and emotional intimacy side. We actually learned intimacy means "into me you see." About a year and 8 months after telling Vanita everything I had ever done since the age of 18, we held hands for the first time. And this began the journey together. You have to understand, just the mere touch of our skin was a really, really big step. Vanita, due to the trauma that I caused, any touch of my skin would cause the trauma and the anxiety and the shaking from the pain. This was the first time I thought, we may make it. The fact that I'm here today, still married to the absolute love of my life, the father of three kids, who they get to call dad, is an absolute miracle. I was so selfish and self-centered, stuck in my sin and having no clue how to get out of the bondage of the sin of my addiction. I got caught by my wife and all the dirty secrets I thought I would take to the grave and never share were brought to light. Through the journey of learning about Christ and growing with men who Christ had put in my life, I was able to admit my sins, ask for forgiveness, and feel love like I had never felt before. I was also able to learn about Jesus through the reading of His Word and meeting with men and seeing the miracle of His work happen in my life. I wanted an intimate relationship with Christ, and I invited Christ into my life to take control, to be the new boss, and to get me out of my way. Jesus had a perfect plan to pull me out of my imperfect mess by bringing men into my life to love me, support me, encourage me, and hold me accountable. So who is this Jesus that I know today? The Jesus I know today is alive. Jesus is the man that died for me on the cross so that I can live in freedom, not guilt, shame, and condemnation. In college, I learned the story of the Bible about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And to be honest, that was something I just gave lip service to. And today, I know it to be truth. Jesus is the one that I give all praise and glory to. He is a big God that can do big miracles. Jesus asked me to surrender and to trust Him fully, even when I thought it was absolutely crazy, to share all my dirty secrets to my wife. And He asked me to get out of the way. My way led to death and destruction. His way has given me freedom beyond belief, and a marriage stronger today than ever. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Thank goodness Tobias has it tattooed to his arm or I'd forget it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. I would like to say that this is the end of my story, but I'm finding it's just the beginning. What I have realized in this relationship with Christ is it's a living and breathing relationship. And I'm finding that the Lord still isn't done with me. He has helped me understand this dying of self process, which has been tough. And now I know it's a lifetime journey. See, the Lord continues to show me areas of my life I need to work on and process through. Working the Timothy books with my Paul has helped me identify areas I still have to let go. I'm learning today as my relationship grows, He reveals truths that I'm still blinded by. Just recently, I had made the decision to quit my job of 15 years and to go on my own. What I didn't realize is how tough that decision was. Now looking back, what I didn't realize was my job was a huge idol in my life. And I put all my security into corporate America, not Jesus Christ. For the first 2 months of this transition, I dealt with the panic attacks and it forced me to hit my knees. I would call my amazing wife and while on the road traveling, bawling my eyes out, saying what a big mistake I just made. And she responded with so much love, grace, and understanding. I now know the Lord does everything in His timing, and He has prepared us both, Vanita and I, for this journey together. The fact Vanita is here for me to support me and encourage me through the words of affirmation is a miracle. He is the way, the truth, and the light. He has a plan for me, and it's so much greater than any plan I had for myself. Guys, I just want to thank you for coming today. I want to thank you for hearing my story. And Vanita, thank you for being an amazing wife. Thank you, guys.